A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 105. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Hyperdrive. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Hyperdrive, as we follow the crew of the HMS Camden Lock as they boldly try to defend Britain's interests in a strange and changing galaxy. That's our setup, Brian.
Yes, and this, of course, was a comedy series. It was a BBC Two sci-fi comedy that ran for 2 seasons in 2006 and 2007. Each series had 6 episodes. They were 30-minute comedy episodes. And it included lots of parody and references to all kinds of sci-fi films and TV shows, and was a fun, witty little space sci-fi show.
Yep, it's a fun show for us to talk about here. And as you say, with British science fiction comedy, we often seem to be covering parodies and affectionate pastiches of other sort of films and TV shows. And there'll be some of that here in Hyperdrive as we go along. So the setup of our story, it's 2151, and the HMS Camden Lock is one of a fleet of British spaceships patrolling the galaxy and trying to protect British interests and do other sort of vague, strange diplomatic things. They're trying to encourage tourism. We occasionally get mention of British settlers and British colonies on planets that they have to go and protect. So a British, say, space fleet doing very British things, Brian.
Yes. And they were doing things like in the first episode, they were trying to encourage alien businesses to relocate to the Peterborough Enterprise Zone or to go on holiday in the Lake District. So it sort of riffs on a lot of British cultural things and different ideas, putting it in this strange universe with lots of aliens that have a very sort of fun and classic sci-fi kind of look to them.
And we've got the ship, the Camden Lock, which is, again, rather humorously said to be powered by P-Rods, which we are told quite often in the first series stands for perfectly safe, but actually probably, or as they say, is definitely not P for plutonium. And again, we get this idea of the sort of bureaucracy trying to protect us from a dangerous bit of information by telling us it's P for perfectly safe.
Yes, lots of bureaucracy and lots of sort of class issues with a blue-collar ship worker kind of thing. Captain Henderson and his crew are doing their best to encourage British interests, to negotiate things between different alien races, to protect and help British interests out in space in various places. And they're always trying their best and usually manage to fail in a wide variety of amusing ways.
They do indeed. So you've mentioned Captain Henderson, which takes us on to discussing the crew of the good ship Camden Lock. We have Captain Mike, Lucky Jack Henderson, as he likes to be known, who believes himself to be a very charismatic and talented leader with people's skills and really a sort of Captain Kirk type figure. And he was played by Nick Frost, who we've seen before in Spaced, but he's also from the films Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and most recently Paul. So a quite well-known comedy figure, normally seen in partnership with Simon Pegg and the director Edgar Wright, but here out on his own as Lucky Jack Henderson, the captain of the Camden Lock.
And he's quite fun because he's very earnest and honest, but clearly his skills are not nearly what he thinks. He's just not that good at this. And then we have First Officer York, who was a science and weapons officer and seems to delight in violence and stern discipline and likes fighting and shooting at whomever he can, whatever he can. Very much the hawk to Mike Henderson's dove. But it's played in a very much a humorous way. It's really played for humor. And he was played by Kevin Eldon, who was in Spaced at one point and was in Hot Fuzz. Also a popular comedy actor, not in that much sci-fi, but a popular comedy actor on British shows in the last several years.
Yeah, he's quite well known over here for his comic presence. Joining Henderson and York, we have Diplomatic Officer Teal, who is in charge of, as it would suggest, the diplomacy, liaising with all the various alien races they encounter, protecting Britain's interests or image. And she is obviously also in love with Captain Henderson, and that's a recurring sort of joke and theme throughout both series of her sort of burning a very large candle for Lucky Jack Henderson. And Teal was played by a comic actress called Miranda Hart, who's a very tall actress, so her sort of very imposing figure adds to her comedy. And since this show, Hyperdrive, she's gone on to become very successful over here, and she's got a big hit at the moment with her own TV comedy show, which is just simply called Miranda, and features more of her sort of physical comedy that we see some of here in Hyperdrive.
Yes, she definitely leans towards some of the physical comedy. And she was played as this kind of awkward character, also played with a lot of humor, and it was quite fun. I think they may have sort of deliberately, when they cast Miranda Hart, cast a number of other characters who were rather short. So she sort of stands out as being this very large and awkward woman in this crew. And she played that perfectly, for sure. We have a couple of other sort of key bridge officers, Navigator Vine, played by Stephen Evans, and Technical Officer Jeffers, played by Dan Antopolsky. And they were sort of bridge officers who got things done. They were both kind of layabouts and kind of incompetent in their own ways. They were there, and they sort of added to things in their own way, and that was kind of fun, too.
They are, that's right. One more sort of regular feature on the bridge of the Camden Lock is the character Sandstrom, played by the actress Petra Massey. Sandstrom is an enhanced human with a sort of cybernetic helmet sort of implant. And the joke about her is that she agreed to this cybernetic upgrade in order to pay off her student loan. And she works the ship's engines, and she sort of stands at one end of the bridge in this strange sort of light box and sort of moves around, and that seems to control the ship. And with her sort of facial skull cybernetic implant, she seems quite an obvious parody of the character Seven of Nine from Voyager, Brian, I think.
Now, she was one who really went with the physical comedy, because they had, you know, her moving around in all sorts of odd ways and reaching out to switches and things to control the ship. But she doesn't talk that much. She does talk, but she doesn't talk all that much. And she has a very sort of childlike presence. And the joke was that the risk in becoming an enhanced human was some loss of personality, which, of course, she completely loses her personality, which you think probably all enhanced humans do. Again, you know, all of these characters were really played for humor, and she was certainly no exception. We occasionally have Space Marshal Clark show up, played by none other than Patterson Joseph, who we've talked about a number of times on British Invaders. He is usually seen as Henderson's boss on the video link communications, giving them orders, and clearly not impressed by Henderson and his crew, and they're like just, you know, one of the ships that's just hanging around that they just want to keep out of the way. And he just shows up on these messages and things from time to time. And it's always very amusing to see the messages coming down from the Space Marshal.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's Patterson Joseph again. And you won't be any surprise if you know the actor to say that he goes at his character full tilt as usual. He's clearly having great fun playing this Space Marshal and telling off Henderson and the crew quite a lot. And there always seems to be something more interesting going off on, off camera for him. He seems to be always in the middle of a party or a better conversation than the one he's having with Captain Henderson.
That's right.
Approaching Gwepin, vector 9 by 779.
Commence, if I please.
Ah, Henderson.
Ah, Space Marshal. Can I just say, first contacts, they really are my favourite part of the job, you know. We're reaching out across the galaxy and we're saying, hello, we're your Sky Brothers.
Yes, very good. See if you can get planning permission for a Tesco orbital.
Okay, I mean, they'll learn from us, but...
Oh, and Barrett Holmes, they've been on the phone. Sending you the bump.
Good. But, I mean, in essence, what we're saying is we're from Britain, you know, and you've just made 180 million new friends.
You're right, Henderson.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
What do friends do for each other?
I think...
They process their friends' nuclear waste.
Nuclear waste.
Tell them it's very profitable and entirely safe. Which it is.
Yes. Yes.
So the episodes of Hyperdrive, we've got, as you say, six episodes per series, two series. The episodes are 30 minutes long, and they're pretty much standalone episodes. They tell a short story in each one, so there isn't really much in the way of linking continuity or story arc through the series.
There are the occasional back references where a thread of things from previous episodes will come up, where there's a bit of a sequel to a previous episode, but for the most part, they are standalone, yes.
Yeah. And usually it's about the Camden Lock spaceship encountering another alien race. They've usually got some task to protect or to promote British interests. And then, as we might expect, they usually manage to mess it up in a slightly ridiculous fashion and get things wrong. So, for instance, we have the first episode is called A Gift from the Glish. Captain Henderson has to negotiate with an alien race called the Glish. And this is, again, this is about trying to encourage them to relocate their business to the Peterborough Enterprise Zone, as you said, Brian. And the Glish are a very sort of slimy and rather repulsive-looking alien race. And this provokes a diplomatic incident because Captain Henderson refuses to let the Glish... Basically, they want to rub parts of themselves on his face, which they say is part of their
culture, yes.
Business relationships. It's their culture, yes. And he finds this somewhat repulsive and, as a result, provokes a diplomatic incident. And, of course, while that's going on, the gift from the Glish itself is some sort of strange creature which has been smuggled on board the Camden Lock. And that causes First Officer York to go on a sort of rather mad, deranged hunt for this creature, a sort of bug hunt with a sort of echoes of the film Alien, Brian.
Yes, I think so. Then in the second episode, you have Henderson and the team going down to a planet to contact the new race called the Kwepu. And the Kwepu are quite fun, and also there's certainly a lot of comedy there. And their team is taken captive, and the only hope is that Jeffers, who was left in command, will come and save them. But of course, Jeffers has called up his friends in order to do a race with the spaceship, because he's in command. So they run a race just while they're needed to come and do rescue, so they're not available because they're somewhere else racing the ship.
Yeah, it's a very sort of amusing setup with them stuck on this sort of medieval planet.
Yeah, and the Kwepu are very fun. There are definitely echoes of alien races from original Star Trek and maybe Star Trek The Next Generation and perhaps Doctor Who as well, but certainly it's a very familiar thing of, you know, them coming and meeting this medieval race with sort of mixes of bits of technology in there and absurd types of things that they're wearing and so on.
Yeah, they're a fun bunch. And as you say, there they are stuck while the Camden Lock is racing around with Jeffers' mates.
That was quite fun. It was a good one to be second because it sort of moved things forward and stepped it up a bit.
So the production of Hyperdrive, created by two writers, Kevin Cecil and Andy Riley, a writing team who'd worked on several UK comedy shows already. They'd done some writing for a show called Black Books, for the comedy duo Armstrong and Miller. They'd also written for Little Britain and Spitting Image.
That's quite a comedy pedigree for British stuff there.
Yeah, they've got, I mean, as you say, plenty of credits to their name, lots of good comic series. You know, lots of people will know those shows as being pretty good. And Cecil and Riley wanted to write a science fiction comedy, and they wondered why there'd never been a British show about a British space force. There always seemed to be shows about American-led space forces, but never a British one. So that's where they came up with this idea for Hyperdrive, which they describe as being a bit like Star Trek, except with more arguments and meetings along the way.
Which is a great idea, of course.
It is, yes.
And they worked with a producer, Alex Walsh Taylor, to make a pilot of this series in 2003, which is well before the series was actually launched. And at that time, the show was called Full Power, and the pilot episode featured quite a different cast. It had Sanjeev Bhaskar as Captain Henderson and Mark Gatiss as York. So some pretty good people there in those roles, which is kind of interesting. And it did feature Miranda Hart as Teal, as she would be in the final show as well. And that pilot episode was directed by Armando Iannucci, but that never actually aired, unfortunately. And I have not seen any clips or anything from that pilot episode made available anywhere.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen any of it. It's not on the DVD set, which is a shame, because it's got good people involved in the pilot. You know, Sanjeev Bhaskar, well-known, again, British comic actor. Mark Gatiss, who we're big fans of here on British Invaders, often involved with some of these science fiction and cult-type shows. And Armando Iannucci is, again, quite well-known over here for his comic shows, for, you know, directing and writing a lot of things. So, yeah, it's a pity we can't see the pilot, but there you go. That was 2003.
Yes, and for one reason or another, I don't know the details, they decided that that wasn't going to work out in the form that it had at the time. And it took another 3 years to get things back together and relaunched for a series. So the pilot was in 2003. It was 2006 that they were getting things in place for the series.
And so then they got a director who was John Henderson, who again had worked on Spitting Image with the writers Andy Reilly and Kevin Cecil. He's perhaps best known to us for directing the comic relief Doctor Who spoof, which was called The Curse of Fatal Death. And that's quite an amusing little take on Doctor Who, which you can watch on YouTube, and it's good fun.
Yeah, that was a charity short for Comic Relief, I believe.
That's right, yes, and it features several well-known actors cropping up as versions of the Doctor. And then for the production of Hyperdrive, they built the control room of the Camden Lock, and they had to build several ship corridors and sliding doors and so on, and cabins. And it's quite a good set. It certainly looks very impressive up on screen. So, you know, nice to see some money actually being spent on this show.
Yes, they had almost like an entire deck there of the ship, it seemed, built in the sets, which was quite nice. They had the control deck and multiple corridors all linked together, and I think another room as well. So you could actually walk through quite a bit of this set, this spaceship set, which was quite neat. They went with CGI, computer graphics, for doing their space work, so CGI spaceships by Curious Entertainment, and they did a decent job at setting up some computer graphics space work. It looked pretty good. The design of the Camden Lock from the outside is based on the London BT Tower, the British Telecom Tower, which I think was a really clever idea.
It is fun, yes. And if you've seen the telecom tower, as soon as you see the spaceship, you'll recognize where they've taken their influence from. It is quite hilarious to see it flying around the galaxy. Yep, there you go. And as you say, the CGI was pretty good, Brian, I think. You know, some of the best CGI space shots we've seen here on British Invaders. So it's quite fun. And also lots of fun to be had with the alien races that they encountered. Lots of alien races, all with quite elaborate makeup and costumes, lots of rubber prosthetics worn by actors and so on, and generally having a lot of fun with the aliens. And also, I think, having a lot of fun with some of their exterior camera work, particularly romping through some quite familiar-looking quarries, which often seem to crop up on these British shows whenever a space traveller lands on an alien planet, Brian.
Yes, they had fun with that take on the types of things that we used to see in classic Doctor Who and on Blake 7 and so on. And, you know, the alien races looked very much like things that were done on the Star Trek series in the 80s and 90s and other shows as well. So they definitely had a lot of fun taking these influences in different bits and pieces of things from various shows and working with those. So that was quite neat. And the series was broadcast on BBC Two with the first series in 2006 and the second series in 2007.
Yep, and that's it, just the two series. And we'll talk a bit more about that next time. And that will probably conclude what we're going to talk about in the first section, Brian.
I think so.
So Do come back and join us next time when we're going to look at, in particular, some of the alien races they encounter and talk about some of the parodies and pastiches of other shows and films that they cover in Hyperdrive.
Oh, yes. And we will have our own comments and reviews and recommendations as well. And we'll talk about the availability and so on. So we have some fun stuff to talk about yet in the second half, for sure. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.